The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and happy Tuesday to you. Welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. We have a great discussion for you today based on a question from a listener just like you. In fact, if you've got your own questions you'd like Dr. Bob Wilkin or Sean Lazar to try to answer, I hope you'll send them to us. You can do that at radio@faithalone.org. Sean and Bob have often talked about how the Gospel of John is our go-to source for the saving message. But the question that we have today takes another perspective on that. Here's the question. Is the Gospel of John the first and only clear-cut teaching about eternal salvation in the Bible? What a great question from an astute listener. Let's see what Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar have to say about that. Here's Grace in Focus.
Hey, welcome back to the show. I hope you've been listening for a while. If this is your first time, my name is Sean.
If it's your first or second time, my name is Bob.
Yeah, that's right. It still doesn't matter how many times it is.
Your name
Sean and Bob. We're in the middle of a series of just going over Q&A. We like to, you know, switch things up. We're going to wrangle David Renfro.
Wrangle Renfro
back into the studio. And we're talking to our friend Al Valdez, and we'd really like to get him involved here, too. He wrote the commentary on, was it Luke and Acts?
Yep.
In the Grace New Testament commentary. And we're trying to get him to write a big old commentary on those two books. But we'll see.
We've had, by the way, I've heard good reports from many of you about our times with David Renfro, and we appreciate it. Anytime you tell us if you like a guest, we get that guest back.
Absolutely. But here's another good piece of news. Danny, Mr. Producer, ordered some equipment so we can start taking phone calls and at least interview people over the phone.
Yeah.
So we'll be able to get more people kind of doing series for the show.
Good.
We're hoping. All right, let's take some questions. Here is one from Mark. And he says, I'm currently reading Eternal Life by Lucas Kitchen. Lucas does the intro to this program. In it, he states that the Gospel of John is about salvation, while the rest of the Bible is about discipleship. I like that clean categorization, but I'm uncomfortable with the idea that until the Gospel of John was written, there was no clear-cut biblical teaching on salvation. How would you resolve this?
Yeah, well, thank you for sharing. I think we're out of time, but this is a good one. This is the hard question, especially when you're talking about the Old Testament. Let's talk for a minute about the New Testament. Although Lucas is right that the Gospel of John is written to unbelievers to tell them how to be born again, how to have everlasting life, how to be forever saved, and the rest of the New Testament is not. The rest of the New Testament is about discipleship, and all the other 26 books of the New Testament were written to born-again people to tell them how to grow in Christ. That doesn't mean that we can't find the saving message in the rest of the New Testament.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say, even though the Gospel of John has the specific purpose, that doesn't mean you can't find, you know, justification by faith apart from works in Romans, or we're saved by grace through faith apart from works in Ephesians or Galatians.
Right. I mean,
you can find it all over the place.
The book of Acts has a number of places where it's very clear.
Because a book is about a discipleship, I mean, our whole ministry is premised on often just reminding Christians that salvation is by faith apart from works. Reminding them of that message, it can be a discipleship thing.
You know? Absolutely.
So it's not like those books don't talk about how to be born again, but they just don't talk about it as much as the Gospel of John does, because that's its focus.
Right, absolutely. So it would not be accurate to say that we can't find the message of everlasting life in the rest of the New Testament outside of John. We find it in 1 John, we find it in the book of Revelation, and you mentioned quite a few other books. Even in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, there are some hints of it, but it's very difficult in Matthew, Mark, and Luke because they're really not like the Gospel of John.
Right, and they focus on a different aspect of Jesus' ministry, which a lot of people don't realize this is even an aspect, but they focus on what's called the gospel of the kingdom and the good news of that. You know, that's what gospel means, the good news of the kingdom. Of this kingdom was being offered to Israel at that time. You know, the king of the kingdom was there making the offer. And so a lot of the parables and the teaching and the ethical moral instruction all has to do with It's all related to life in the kingdom.
Absolutely. Now, in the Old Testament, it would also be fair to say that there is no Old Testament book written to tell the unbeliever what he must do to be born again. Yeah. In fact, there's not even a single verse anywhere in the Old Testament that uses the term save or salvation in an individual sense in terms of being born again. It's mostly the national salvation of Israel from Gentile domination, or the national salvation of Israel from Gentile nations, yeah, or the individual salvation of Israel's kings, mm-hmm, or of Israelites, or whatever. But when you want to see the doctrine of everlasting life in the Old Testament, you're basically dealing with Genesis 15:6. Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him for righteousness,
yeah,
which is mentioned by Paul in Romans 4 and also Galatians chapter 3. And you also have some other verses here and there which do deal with the faith alone message, but they're pretty few and far between. And the assumption is that the Old Testament prophets not only gave us what we have in the prophetic books, but they also had an oral preaching ministry. And the assumption has to be that they preached the message of justification and everlasting life orally. So we have, for example, Isaiah 52 and 53 about the suffering servant. But it doesn't specifically come out and say, if you believe in the suffering servant, well, then you're saved forever. But yeah, Jesus said, for example, in John 5, 39 and 40, you search the scriptures, that means the Old Testament, for in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they which testify of me. In other words, the Old Testament testified about Jesus and everlasting life, but you're not willing to come to me that you may have life. So the point is, the Old Testament person should have been able to grasp from the Old Testament and from the oral teaching of the Old Testament prophets that by faith in the coming Messiah, they had everlasting life. And there were people that got that. For example, Simeon and Anna were in the temple when the baby Jesus was brought to the temple, and both of them knew this was the Savior of Israel. Mm-hmm. Both of them knew they had everlasting life. Simeon said, God's not going to allow me to die until I see the salvation of Israel.
Yeah.
And he knew that meant their deliverance from Gentile domination. But more than that, he knew this meant the one who's going to establish his kingdom.
Right. Do you think you can take from Luke that he knew that the Messiah gives eternal life? I think you have to kind of read, you have to read between the lines, but it's not explicitly there.
It is definitely not explicitly there. But I think you can grasp that from the statement and the way that Luke uses it.
Well, I think another way you can grasp it is, how long did the Jews think the kingdom would last?
Right. They thought it would be, right, an eternal kingdom.
Right. They thought they would be, you know, they're expecting the Messiah to establish an eternal kingdom. They're expecting to be in the good part forever. You know, it's an eternal existence.
Unless they were a Pharisee, they believed in, a Sadducee, believed in a bodily resurrection. The Pharisees believed in bodily resurrection.
Right.
So they expected to be resurrected and be in the kingdom with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all of the Old Testament believers.
So they had an eternal salvation in view. But as you say, the Sadducees, they're the liberals. We always talk about modern-day Pharisees today. You know, we talk about hypocritical people, we call them Pharisees, but we don't really talk about the Sadducees too much. But I always think of the big liberal seminaries as Sadducees seminaries, the equivalent.
They're Sadducee.
Yeah, they're Sadducee, yeah. Like I was reading about the president of a big liberal seminary in New York, doesn't believe in the resurrection, thinks it's a myth. I mean, it's a Christian seminary, quote unquote, but she doesn't believe in any of this. She's a Sadducee. It's a modern day Sadducee.
Wow.
So,
who asked this question?
This is Mark.
I think Mark's question was a very good one.
That's a hard one.
And I would just say, we don't want to make things so black and white that we say the only place you can find the saving message in the entire Bible is in the Gospel of John. That is the place to go for the unbeliever to come to faith, because it's so crystal clear. But we can find it in Genesis 15:6, Genesis 3:15 alludes to it.
Right.
You've got other verses all through the New Testament that talk about it outside of the Gospel of John. There was a talk given at our conference by Bob Bryan about 10 years ago where He basically argued you cannot find the promise of everlasting life in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. At best, you can just find some hints of it, like you were talking about with Simeon.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a hint there. There's also a hint in the parable of the four soils in Luke, where it says Satan snatches away the seed lest they should believe and be saved.
Yeah.
Well, the hint there is, if you believe, you're saved once and for all, and that's why Satan snatches it away, because he believes in eternal security. But that's not all explicitly stated.
No, it's not. And if you go looking towards the saving message in those Gospels, it's no wonder people believe in salvation by works, because the gospel of the kingdom is all about repenting and living right and obeying, and then finally Israel being at a place where they can receive the kingdom.
A lot of people, when they hear you say the gospel of the kingdom, they think you're talking about the saving message at the time of the Old Testament or the time of Christ.
Okay.
That's not what you're using. You're using the term gospel, what it really means, which is good news. So gospel doesn't mean how you're saved. Gospel means good news.
Right. And there's different good news.
Right. And so this good news is, in order for the kingdom to come for Israel, they not only had to believe in Jesus, they had to turn from their sins and be in fellowship with Jesus.
Yeah.
And so we shouldn't think that somehow the saving message has ever been anything other than believe in Jesus and you have everlasting life, although in the Old Testament they didn't necessarily know his name was Yeshua.
Mm-hmm.
They might have, because the word Yeshav means to save, and Yeshua is the one who saves, Matthew 1:21. You'll call his name Jesus, for he will save his people.
Mm-hmm.
How the nation was saved, the national salvation of Israel, not just from eternal condemnation, but from Gentile domination.
Like we always say, how salvation means different things in different contexts, and this is gospel also means different things in different contexts. Now, in Christianese, you hear gospel, and that's the message of how an individual can be born again, but that's not how the Bible uses
right.
the term.
Very good.
Thank you, Mark. If you have follow-ups, send your question to radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to learn more from Dr. Bob and Sean and the other guests that we have on this show? If so, you can do exactly that by going to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. It's packed with all kinds of materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. A great example is our daily blog posts. You can get signed up for free, and every day a new post will show up in your inbox. Go to faithalone.org. This radio show is made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. If you'd like to become a financial partner with this show, you can go to faithalone.org and find out exactly how to do just that. Do you have a question for Sean or Bob? I know that I've often had questions for them. If you do, I want to give you our email address so that you can reach out to us to ask that burning question. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about Old Testament saints and how they interacted with the Holy Spirit. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.